Welcome to the radio broadcast of the Missionary Baptist Church. It is our prayer that today's sermon will be a blessing to your heart as we all strive together to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do.
Psalm 18, verse 30 through 32. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. I've entitled the lesson, God's Way is Perfect. Do you believe that tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
His way is perfect. And that's where we begin, with the way of God. As for God, His way is okay, right? Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say His way is okay. It doesn't say His way is tolerable. It doesn't say His way is endurable, if I must. But what? His way is what? Perfect. God's way is perfect. It doesn't say either His way is sometimes perfect. Nor does it say His way is perfect once in a while. Nor does it say His way is usually perfect. No, as for God, His way is perfect. Amen. It's perfect. It's perfect now and it's always perfect. His way is without fault and His way is without flaw. Now, it doesn't say that His way is understandable to man, necessarily. He doesn't say His way makes perfect sense to us. It doesn't always make sense to me. In fact, Psalm 77:19 says, Thy way is in the sea, and Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. Isaiah 55:9, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So we don't always understand His way, but we do understand that His way is perfect. And until we understand that fact, we won't be able to understand this psalm. We won't understand the life of David, and we won't even understand our own lives until we understand and come to accept the fact that God's way is perfect. Amen. Now may I say this, His way may not always be comfortable. His way may not always be convenient. His way may not always be conceivable to the human mind. But His way is always perfect. And hallelujah for a perfect way. We come also in verse 30, not only to the way of God, but to the Word of God. Notice the second phrase there. The Word of the Lord is tried. It is tried and it has never failed any trial that has been through. Try it though you may, you'll not find the Word of God wanting. Because not only do we find that God's way is perfect, but we find that His Word is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
You can trust His Word. Psalm 19:7, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His Word is perfect. It's without error. We can rely on it in every situation. It's profitable for doctrine to teach us what is right. It is profitable for reproof to teach us what is not right. It is profitable for correction to teach us how to get it right. And it is profitable for instruction in righteousness to teach us how to keep it right. God's perfect way is revealed by God's perfect Word. And then in the 30th verse, we also see in the final clause, the working of God. And I know I'm breezing through these quickly, but they are very simple points, and I want us to grasp the importance here in this third phrase. He, God, is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. No matter what we may be facing in our lives, we can be sure that He is working in us, and we can trust Him when He works in us. But the word buckler here brings us to an important realization of how God works in us. Are you listening tonight? What is a buckler? A buckler is a type of shield. Now it says, He, God, is our buckler. He is our shield. But what I want to bring out from this is that we need a buckler. And the fact that we need a buckler indicates that God will allow us to undergo situations and circumstances wherein we may be subject to the attack of an enemy. The fact that God is our buckler indicates that He's going to allow us to get into situations where we need to be shielded. We will undergo opposition, we will undergo attacks, and we must trust in Him in those times, knowing that He's working in our lives and knowing that His working is perfect. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4 says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He." As we look through the entirety of Psalm 18, if we take an overview of it, we see repeated difficulty and adversity to which David is exposed. In fact, the very heading of the psalm tells us that the Lord delivered David from the hand of all his enemies. Well, if the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies, that means that the Lord allowed him at some point to be in the grasp of his enemies. And from that grasp, from that hand, God extricated David by His power and will. But don't miss the fact that God allowed David to be ensnared by his enemies to begin with, and then God delivered him from those enemies. David faced the sorrows of death. David faced the floods of ungodly men. David faced distress and calamity and hatred and darkness in this 18th psalm. We saw last time that David ran through a troop and he leapt over walls, which means that there were troops to be faced and walls to be leapt over, barriers in his life, obstacles, difficulties. Now, if God brought him through the troop, God first allowed the troop to be there. If God helped him leap over the wall, God put the wall there or allowed the wall to be put there. This is the working of God, but His works are perfect. It's important to see that the work of God may very well and often does include affliction for His own people, but His work is perfect nonetheless. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that God allowed the messenger of Satan to buffet Paul with a thorn in the flesh. And Paul went to the Lord three times to ask for deliverance from that thorn in the flesh. And sometimes I understand it's difficult to see how God can use the works of Satan. But He can even use the works of Satan for His own glory and to accomplish His own will. For we know all things work together for the good of them that love God and them that are the called according to His purpose. Amen. And so, even though it's hard to see sometimes, it's a fact. Paul repeatedly asked God to remove that affliction, but in 2 Corinthians 12:9, God tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made what? Perfect in weakness." His strength is made perfect in weakness. And what was Paul's response to that? "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Honestly, those of us in the room tonight who are the weakest, we have access now through that weakness to the strength of God. And He can and will see us through according to His will. Going through difficulty, you know the great physician knows the answer. But I know that God will give you His strength in your times of weakness. And I just want to say tonight, don't let weakness get you down. Don't let being down keep you down. Because God allows us to go through those times of difficulty to show Himself strong. Amen. The perfect workings of God often allow difficulties in our lives. And those difficulties then compel us to trust in Him. And when we do, He shields us from the very difficulties through which He has allowed us to pass in the first place. "There hath no temptation taken you," says the Bible, "but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." His grace is sufficient for us to bear it. And He's using these things to work in our lives, to draw us closer to Himself, to give us comfort that we can use to comfort others, to strengthen our faith. Many, many purposes that I can imagine that God may allow us to be afflicted. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted," the Bible says, "that I might learn thy statutes." And so we see the way of God is perfect, we see the word of God is perfect, and we see the workings of God are perfect, and His strength is made perfect in weakness. Look at verse 31 and notice with me the worthiness of God. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Now notice the first word there, the word for. Whenever you see the word for, remember, it's like a hinge upon which a door of truth swings. When you open the door, you can see the ground upon which the truth just stated is based. In other words, the truths of verse 30 are based upon the truth of verse 31. And what we're saying here is that the way of God is perfect, the word of God is perfect, and the working of God is perfect because God Himself is perfect. The worthiness of God is based on the perfection of God. He's the Almighty. He's the perfect one. Matthew 5:48 tells us that our Father, which is in heaven, is what? Perfect. He's perfect. His perfection is seen both in His name, the Lord or Jehovah, the self-sufficient one, and it is also seen in His immutability. He is a rock, an immovable and immutable rock. He's immutable because He's perfect. Even if God were not immutable, He would not change, even if He could, because He's perfect and He doesn't need to change. Amen. We're the ones that need to change. I hope you see changes in your life taking place on a fairly regular basis. What kind of changes? Well, changes wherein you see problems and difficulties, and God shows them to you, and God brings you under conviction of sins, or God reveals to you some weakness in your life, and you turn and you begin to depend upon Him, and you see victory. Amen. But God, He is perfect. He's already everything He needs to be, and everything we could ever want Him or need Him to be. Now, verse 32, we come to the wisdom of God. In verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength. This speaks to the wisdom of God. We mentioned a moment ago, His strength is made perfect in weakness, because God girdeth me with strength. His strength. He builds me up with His strength, not my own strength. This is the wisdom of God. His strength is made perfect in weakness, because if we were strong, we would depend upon our strength rather than upon His strength. God in His wisdom allows us to experience weakness so that we can run to Him for strength and He can lift us up. Amen. I want to turn our Bibles, hold your hand here, because we have one more phrase, but go to 1 Corinthians 1. We're going to see that God's wisdom confounds the wisdom of man. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, is everybody there? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. It's kind of a humorous and ironic statement when he says God's foolishness is wiser than men and God's weakness is stronger than men. It's speaking hypothetically that if God had any weakness, God in His weakness would be stronger than our strongest man. God, if He had any foolishness, you understand tonight, God has none. He's all wise, the Bible tells us. But if He had any foolishness, it'd still be a lot wiser than the wisest man on the face of planet Earth. Job 37, verse 16, dost thou know the balancings of the cloud, the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge? So we see perfect way, perfect word, perfect working. He Himself is perfect, perfect wisdom. And then back to Psalm 18, verse 32. Notice that last clause with me. God maketh my way perfect. His way is perfect, and he maketh my way perfect. Now, how does he do that? Because he makes his way my way. He gives me the opportunity to adopt his way as my way. He works his perfect works in my life. He does so by his perfect wisdom. He guides me in his perfect way by his perfect word. And he makes my way perfect by leading me in his perfect will. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, do I always understand it? No. Do I always like it? No. But may I say tonight that I can always trust it because it's perfect, because he's perfect. Honestly, I think if it were up to me, I'd never be sick. I'd never have aches or pains. I would definitely never forget a thing. If it were up to me, I'd be able to see you without these glasses, but I have to wear them or else I'll make a spectacle of myself. But no matter what I am facing, beloved, no matter what difficulty, no matter what heartache, no matter what challenge, young people get opposed at school all the time, and you wonder, why does God allow it to happen? May I say, his way is perfect. It's perfect. And you can trust him, young people. Even when he brings some hellion across your path, you can trust him. And he may just use you to reach that hellion for Christ. His way is perfect. Hallelujah.
Alleluia.
Picking up where we closed last week, we saw verse 32 already, but this 32nd verse introduces us to the next couple. And so my thought tonight is that God girdeth me with strength. And the verses that follow tell me how God girdeth me with strength. First, he girdeth me with strength for sanctification. Secondly, he girdeth me with strength for security. And number three, he girdeth me with strength for skirmishes. Strength for sanctification, number one. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. This same sentiment is expressed by the prophet Habakkuk over in the 3rd chapter and 19th verse of his book. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. He designs my feet, that is, in such a way as to allow me to walk with him in a sanctified way. I want to point out that the feet of the hind signify cleanness. You may or may not know that a hind is a red deer. According to Leviticus 11 and then also Deuteronomy chapter number 14, the hind would be numbered among those animals that are considered clean animals. Now, what was the identifying mark of a clean animal is marked by its feet. When it says that God makes my feet like hinds' feet, it shows that God has designed his people for a clean and a holy and a sanctified walk. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." This is the design of God in giving us feet like hinds' feet. He's equipping us for this kind of walk. A walk that is a separated walk. A walk that is a sanctified walk. A walk that is a good, clean Christian life. Amen. And he girdeth me with strength and the strength that I need to walk such a walk. Do you understand tonight that such a walk is actually an impossible walk for a human being to walk? We must be endued with the power of God to walk such a walk. Well, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He gives me the wherewithal, the strength that I need in order to walk that walk. Another thing about the feet of the hind is that it signifies fleetness. That is, they're a fast animal. God has designed the feet of this animal for speed. And the lesson that we have here is that when the enemy approaches in an attempt to overtake us with some temptation or with some sin, we've been equipped of God or given strength by God to flee at once. I think of the words in 2 Timothy 2:22. where it says, flee youthful lusts. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, flee from idolatry. Proverbs 6:5, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter. When you see trouble coming, don't be ashamed to run away. Amen?
Amen.
It's all right to run the other way. And so that is the lesson of the hind's feet, strength for sanctification. We also have strength here for security. He setteth me on my high places. We find here that the feet of the hind signify also safety and security. The hind's feet give it the ability to walk safely where others cannot walk in those high places. The hind's feet stand where others fall because its footing is secure. The hind walks steadily where others stumble. And of course, the wonderful spiritual truth we see in this is that Christians can stand secure amid the things that cause others to fall because they've been set by God on those high places and they've been given the ability to keep their footing sure in some treacherous terrain. I think of Job as an example. And I think of the circumstances and the situations that would have caused others to collapse completely. And I'm not saying, by the way, that Christians will never crumble. Sometimes we do. But what I'm trying to get across tonight is that we have the wherewithal given to us by God. He girdeth me with strength. And we have the wherewithal, if we'll use it, to reach higher ground and to stand safely and securely on that higher ground. I heard one time a person who was going through some difficulty and somebody asked them how they were doing and they came back with a common answer that you hear all the time. Well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And you know, the person said, well, you ought to get out from under the circumstances. A Christian doesn't belong under the circumstances. I don't really advocate the callousness with which the other person answered. Even so, the statement was true. We ought to speak the truth in love. Amen. But there was truth to it. You see, David said, he setteth me upon my high places. God has given every Christian some high places to which he may go to get above his circumstances. So I understand, yeah, we don't belong under our circumstances. But I like the fact that if we do get under our circumstances, underneath that are the everlasting arms of God. He girdeth me with strength. But the hind's feet are designed in such a way that they take a safe and firm grip in places where others would fall. And so the Christian walk is one that can take grip on the promises of God. That high place, those higher grounds. And they're my high places. High places that God has given to me. The place of prayer. The place of fellowship. The place of Christian encouragement. We have what we need, for God girdeth me with strength, and he setteth me on my high places. And so it's not that the Christian will never encounter some treacherous terrain. And I know some religions that would suggest that if you're right with God, you'll never find any trouble. Nothing could be further from the truth than that. Jesus encountered trouble. Paul encountered trouble. We already mentioned Job. Anyone who is ever right with God encountered trouble and difficulty. So put that thought out of your mind that a Christian who's right with God will never encounter trouble. Now, that's not necessarily true. But if you do encounter trouble, God girdeth me with strength. He gives me the ability to overcome that trouble or stand firmly in the face of that trouble. I can get above that trouble or even in the trouble. I can stand on solid ground. Amen. We've been given the wherewithal to walk in such a way as not to allow those things to bring us down. So I believe that when we get on that treacherous terrain and our feet slip, a lot of times we're not submitted to the control of God. And I want to bring that out here in the last point in verse 34. Strength not only for sanctification, to walk that clean Christian walk, and not only for security and safety, but strength that he giveth me for skirmishes. Notice verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. I want to say tonight, we do not have to be Satan's victims. We can be the victors, amen, in Christ. Too many people are under the mistaken impression that there are two mighty forces in the universe vying for the mastery, and we're all just kind of waiting to see which force will emerge. Well, that might work on the silver screen with Star Wars, but that's just not theologically true. The devil is under God's authority, and he can do absolutely nothing unless God allows it to be so. Now, I'll not try to explain why God allows certain things to happen, because I'll confess I don't understand a lot of the times why God would allow this or that or the other. Even having read it in the book of Job, I don't really understand why God would allow that to happen. But I know one thing. Anything that God permits, He'll use to show Himself supreme, and He'll use to bring Himself glory. Amen. And I know that Romans 16 and verse 20 promises that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Shortly, by the way, he says in that verse. You see, the devil belongs under the feet of the people of God. Those feet that have been made like hinds' feet. It's speaking to me tonight of the strength for these skirmishes. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. In other words, God gives us the strength to do that which is impossible to do. Anybody who's ever hunted with a bow knows that nobody, I don't care if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can't break a steel bow with your arms. You can't even string a steel bow with your arms. You've got to wrap your leg around it and bend it back and put the string there and put it up there. I don't know if I could break it even that way. Has anybody ever broken a bow bending it back that way? And so the illustration here is, when he says, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms, he's speaking of something that is humanly impossible, such as we see in the life of Samson. All those great feats were impossible for human strength. So how did he do them? God gave him the strength. It was God's strength that broke the bow. God equips us in Ephesians chapter 6 with the whole armor of God so that we can stand in a wicked day. And he teacheth my hands to war. It's interesting. You don't say, he teacheth me to war. He teacheth my hands to war. Because there's a technique that some people use in order to teach others how to use their hands. And that's by putting the teacher's hands on the student's hands, or vice versa, the student's hands on the teacher's hands. Sometimes a baseball coach will do this to teach a new batter how to hold his bat and how to swing his bat. He'll get behind him and put his hands over the batter's hands. Sometimes I've seen art teachers who will do this to show a student how to make pottery, and they'll move the student's hands. God teacheth us to use our hands by taking control of our hands, or by us yielding the control of our hands to Him. Have you ever sat your child in your lap? I know it's illegal. You're driving down the street, yeah? And they put their hands up on the steering wheel, and your hands go right over top of their hands, yes? Or their hands are on yours. And you're letting them drive. Now, are they driving? No, you're driving. When He teacheth my hands to war, when He giveth me strength, He puts His hands on my hands. And when I yield the control to Him, I'm thereby enabled to do things that I would not otherwise be able to do. How else do you explain some of the great feats that David's mighty men did in warfare? There could be no explanation except that God's hands are on the soldiers' hands as the soldiers yielded to God. And so it is with the child of God, that when God is in control, He gives us the power and He helps us do the right things when we're yielded to that control. I said before, one could never break a steel bow, but when our hands are on God's hands, that bow can snap like a twig, because in truth, it's His strength that's breaking it. God girdeth me with strength, strength to walk a sanctified walk, strength to stand in a secure and a high place, and strength for skirmishes against the devil, to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. He girdeth me with strength.
We'd like to invite you to join us at the Missionary Baptist Church for Sunday school at 10 a.m., for morning worship at 11 a.m., or for the evening worship at 7 p.m. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're located at 507 South 14th Street in Lamar, Colorado. If you need prayer or any additional information, please call our church office at 719-336-4174.
All creatures of our God and King, alleluia.